Boy, that was awesome. Truly, great singing here this morning. Wow, good songs. Sounds like somebody's singing like they're saved. Amen. That's a blessing. Have you ever been someplace where people sang like they were unsaved? If they sang at all, man, that's a bummer. If you're new to the church here this morning, thanks for coming out today. And I hope already that you've seen something different here and that people truly have something to sing about. The psalmist says that he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and hath set my feet upon a rock. He's established my goings. And then he says, and he put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our Lord. And I'm thankful for that. And so people are singing like that here this morning. I also appreciate the youth choir that sang here this morning. Wasn't that a blessing? Good job, all of you that were prepared that. And I heard some harmony going on in there. And that was just a blessing. Keep working at that. And that'll really minister to the church here. So thank you for those two songs that you sang. Let's go to Jonah this morning. The book of Jonah in your Old Testament. It's been good for me to be here. I've been helped. I've been encouraged by the preaching by your fellowship this week. And it's been really good. And appreciate your pastor, his friendship over the years, and his steadfast example has been a great blessing to me. If you are new to the church here today, I hope you'll come back next week and hear Pastor Stevens. I think your Pastor Stevens will be here next week. And don't judge everything today by the guy who's standing up here. Do yourself a favor and come back next week and hear Pastor Stevens, and that'll be a blessing. Look at Jonah this morning, and we're going to be in Jonah 2. So that's in your Old Testament, and it's somewhere in there, in those minor prophets. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. I said that for my benefit here this morning, not for yours. I have to rehearse that. I'm glad. I don't know if I could do it now. I'm glad that I memorized that as a young person. Because a lot of times when I'm turning to those Old Testament passages, it's going in my mind what I just quoted to you, and that's how I find it. So in Jonah, we're going to look at chapter number 2 here today, but Jonah is kind of unique in the way that it's written, the book. A lot of authors have followed and sort of copied the pattern of the way the author's style in which he writes. At the end of each chapter, he kind of leaves you at a cliffhanger. And you'll see that at the end of chapter number 1 in it. You're invited, once you finish one chapter, to hurry up and read the next chapter because you want to know how the story goes. And you'll see that at the end of chapter 1 in verse number 17, where it says, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights." And that invites us to chapter number 2. Well, what happened when he was there? And it's pretty neat the way that the scriptures are put together that way. In chapter number 1, if you're not familiar with this short but great book in the Bible, Jonah was a man. He was a prophet of the Lord, and the Lord had called him to leave Israel and to go preach to another nation and, in fact, another city, another people. God had called him to go preach to the city of Nineveh. And Jonah, we find in chapter number 1, he was unwilling to do so. And the Bible tells us that he fled from the presence of the Lord. And he did so by finding a ship and sailing to a place called, in verse number 3 of chapter number 1, Tarshish. And that would be the opposite direction of where Nineveh was. And yet he was trying to get away from the call of God and from the presence of the Lord. Well, to make a short story shorter, God sent a big storm. And Jonah ends up being cast into the sea as a result of this storm. And that's where we pick it up in chapter number 1 in verse number 17. Once he's cast into the sea, it said that the Lord had prepared a great fish, we know it to be a whale in the New Testament, to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And so we look at chapter number 2, where it says, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came unto thee into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land." Now, Lord, we're thankful that we can be here today. And Father, I'm thankful for how I've already just been encouraged being in the presence of your people here this morning. Father, it's been nice to fellowship, and it's been nice, Father, to sing together. And now, Father, we come to the time of the preaching of your word. I pray that you would help me as I strive to do that here this morning. I pray that what comes out of this preacher's mouth, Father, would first and foremost bring honor and glory to you. But, Father, we also want it to affect those who have come in here today. And, Father, we know that your word is given to discern the thoughts and intents of our heart. Father, we ask that it would do just that here this morning. We ask that your word would find some good soil in the hearts of the people who have gathered here today. And if there's one here today who doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, I pray today would be the day that they ask you to save them. Take them to heaven when they die. And Father, we pray that you would bless the preaching here this morning. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. So in this chapter, Jonah chapter number 2, we witness Jonah in the whale's belly. And then we, at the end of the chapter, we see in verse number 10, we witness his release from this sort of very unique coffin. when we study the scriptures and the Old Testament scriptures, which this is the Old Testament in particular, we want to remember what Jesus said in John chapter number 5 and verse number 39 when he said, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life." And then he said this, "And they are they which testify of me." On a larger scale, when we look at Jonah in this particular chapter here, Jonah chapter number 2 testifies of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus himself says in Matthew chapter 12 in verse number 39, He answered and said, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh for a sign, and there shall no sign be given it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And no doubt one of the primary reasons that the Lord chose to put this account into His Word is because it depicts to us the Lord Jesus Christ's own death, burial, and resurrection. In fact, even where Jonah, there are some similarities between where Jonah stayed and where the Lord Jesus Christ was placed. This coffin or this tomb, the whale's belly that he's placed in, is a new tomb like the Lord's was. And he stays there for the same amount of time that the Lord Jesus Christ did, 3 days and three nights. And once released from this tomb, this preacher comes out, and we see in the end of the book or the next chapter, he goes and he preaches a message of repentance to Gentile people. And just like the Lord Jesus Christ does and continues through the apostles and to us today in the New Testament. Now this morning we're just going to look at a couple of things in the text. First of all, I'd like to draw your attention to Jonah's predicament. Jonah's predicament. Now the question arises, Jonah goes into this whale's belly for 3 days and three nights, and he's miraculous. The question arises if he is miraculously brought back to life, thus satisfying the sign that Christ said that he was. And, you know, different people argue on both sides. Maybe he died and went to hell and was resurrected. And there people argue that back and forth, and commentators toss that back and forth. Really, the bottom line for the message here this morning is what Jonah says in verse number 2, what this experience was like. Look at verse number 2. He says, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. And then he says this, out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Regardless of the fact if he literally goes to hell, to the heart of the earth, or he's just there in the whale's belly, he says that this experience was hell. Okay, so let's not miss the greater point here, that this is what it was like. Jonah's in a... I'm imagining here, he's in the whale's belly, and this is quite the predicament. He's in what I would say is a tight spot. We talked in Sunday school about being enveloped in an avalanche and being hopeless in that position. Jonah's in that position when he's here. You know, being a pastor is an interesting job sometimes, and people will come and say different things to you, people will come, and it's interesting. They'll talk to you about when they die, things that they want to happen. I want the funeral to be this way, or, you know, would like this to happen or that to happen, or make sure you say at my funeral. So I have this good friend, an older man in our church, and he's told me multiple times, Pastor, when I die, and we go out there to the burial site in the Veterans Cemetery on the south side of Mandan out there, once you get everybody around the gravesite, at some point in there, I want you to look at that coffin getting ready to be lowered into that tomb and tell people, well, he's been in tighter spots than this before. Okay, so I guess I have to say that. So that's going to happen one of these days, and hopefully the Lord comes before that time. But that coffin, it's a pretty tight spot. Thank God if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're already in the presence of the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Jonah's in a tight spot here this morning. I wonder here this morning if you've ever been in a tight spot. In spite of the cartoon images that come into my mind, and maybe they come into yours, when I read through the scripture, sometimes I don't know if it's from flannel graph or Bible stories that were read to me when I was younger with little cartoon images, or perhaps somewhere in there, my kids grew up watching VeggieTales, and so I read a passage of scriptures, and I get VeggieTale images in my mind. And somewhere in the recesses of my mind, when I see Jonah in this... in this whale's belly. There's a big open chasm in there, and he's sitting down, and he's got a little fire going. And I think maybe there's a couple little fish that are flopping around or something, and he may even be grilling one. And every time I read it, that image comes into my mind, but that's not very scriptural. That's not what this was like. He tells us what it was like. Look at verse number 5. He says this. He says, the waters compassed me about. So he's compassed, even to the soul. Notice the words that he uses. He says, the depth closed me round about. And then he says, the weeds were wrapped about my head. And then he says in verse number 6, I went down to the bottoms of the mountain, and the earth with her bars was about me forever. And so the description of what he's like here is a man who's compassed, a man who's closed in, a man who's wrapped up, and a man who's held by bars. And the image is that of a man not sitting, having a nice little fire, waiting to be spit out onto dry land, but a man who's completely trapped. And in a situation where there's really nothing that he can do. And he has no strength as he's wrapped about. He has no strength to change the situation. And no amount of willing his way out of this situation. I'm sure when Jonah gets in this whale's belly, it hits him pretty soon, once he arrives there, that he is no longer in control. He may have been able to get on that boat and flee from the presence of the Lord, but once that whale swallowed him up and he's wrapped up, he's no longer in charge and he's no longer in control. And he's brought face to face in this moment with his own mortality. And the reality of that I'm about ready to die, right? There's but a step between me and death, and it's appointed unto men once to die, and he's brought face to face with that. And not just the coming death, but also his own inability to control situations. The situation is tight. It's no dark. There's no fire going. It stinks. And it appears that there's no way out. He's completely out of control. He's lost control of his own life. And I'm just reminded when I think of that and that picture about how controlling we get of our own lives. And it seems like we strive to just get everything organized and just so in our life. We set everything up just right where it's as if we don't even need a God or need His help. Why? Because we've got it handled. We've got the job. We've got the plan. We've got the 401k. We've got the future planned. We park our cars nice and straight in a line. Right? We're organized. Right? We're put together. Until one day the script doesn't quite turn out the way we thought it was going to turn out. And the way that we planned. And I wonder if sometimes that happens because God needs to teach us again that we're not truly in control. And so Jonah is there. This is quite the predicament. Notice in verse number 7 what he says in that predicament. Verse number 7, he says this, when my soul fainted within me. And so as he's there, his soul is fainting. Why is his soul fainting? Well, I would say it's because he has no hope. We should remember this. Those who cast him overboard, they thought he was gone. Dead and gone for. There's no way that in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea, when we threw him out, I don't know if they knew that the whale swallowed him up or not, but by everybody's thought, Jonah's gone. The sea swallowed him up. He's toast. Jonah himself likely thinks that things are over. I'm dead. I'm not getting out of this. But the great thing is that God was not done with Jonah. Now, the psalmist says, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. And if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there." God was not done with Jonah, and God was not far from Jonah. In chapter number 1, we see actually the Lord's presence was all over the place. In chapter 1, God's presence was in His Word. God's presence was in the wind of the storm that He sent. God's presence was in the lot or the wager that they cast. And God's presence was even there with the whale. And God's presence is all over this place. And though it may appear that God is done with him, or God is done with someone, and that there's no hope for them, we should never underestimate the Lord's desire and His ability to bring people back into His presence. And that person who seems hopeless is not. Remember what God said of you. You were without Christ, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Someone, maybe several someones, thought that there was no hope for you. But there was. And Jonah's in a position now where truly no one can help him. He can't help himself. And no one can help him but God. He's in quite the predicament. And so what does he do? Notice in verse number 1. Notice secondly tonight, this morning here, his prayer. It says in verse number 1 of chapter number 2, "Then Jonah prayed. And he prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly." If you're in a tight spot here this morning, it's time to pray. You know, maybe you don't know exactly what to say. Jonah just began to pray, and the Bible says in verse number 2, he rehearses that prayer. He said, "I cried." Maybe you don't know exactly what to say. Just start to cry out to God. Just start to pour your heart out to God. We'll notice here as Jonah prays, notice when he prays in verse number 2. He says, "I cried by reason of my affliction." You know when Jonah prayed? When he was in affliction. You know, sometimes, for those of us as believers, we forget to pray. Do you ever just go and go and go and go, and then you're trying to figure something out, and then you finally stop and say, "I have not even stopped and prayed about this thing." You know, that'll happen to me on just like the most simple things, too. Like I lost my keys again. And I'll go and, "Ashley, where are my keys? And kids, where are my keys? And, you know, Alan at the church, where are my keys? And where are my keys?" And I look all over the place and I'll do that, you know, and go and go and go and go. And then after about an hour and a half, it's like, "Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray?" I should pray about my keys. "God, where are my keys?" And I'll tell you what, it's like they show up just like that. You know, and we can forget to pray. Jonah here prays when he's in affliction. That's a good time to pray. It's good to pray before affliction. But if you're in affliction, it's a good time to pray. Sometimes, though, we don't pray when we need to pray because we know if we had prayed beforehand, we probably wouldn't have gotten into the mess that we had gotten into. So Jonah knows as he's there in the whale, he's thinking back. If I would have prayed in Jonah 1, there wouldn't be Jonah 2. You know, we would have skipped right to Jonah 3 and 4. There wouldn't be Jonah 2. And so he's there in the whale, and he's like, if I'd have just prayed, then I wouldn't have to pray now. And wouldn't have gotten myself into this mess. There was one time when I was younger, my wife and I, the family was growing, and we needed a bigger vehicle. And so we went to a car dealership, and we bought a used Chevy Tahoe to haul the kids around. And we went just to look, honestly. We just went to look. We were unaware how those car dealerships, I mean, their methods, you know, those guys. And they got us. And we went to look, and before you knew it, we were walking out of there with keys to that Chevy Tahoe. and a 5 or 6 year loan that we probably couldn't afford. And almost immediately, I had almost immediate buyer's remorse. And that was only exacerbated by the fact that things started going bad on that vehicle almost immediately. And I felt so bad about it. And of course, the Lord brought it to my mind, you know, did you ever pray about buying that vehicle? And I hadn't. I just went down and I mean, I just got swept up in everything and I didn't. And of course, I felt like at that point I couldn't talk to the Lord about it because I knew whose fault it was. It wasn't his fault. It was my fault. Don't let the guilt of not praying beforehand, if true, keep you from praying now. So you didn't pray before and here's where you're at. You're in a tough spot. Okay, that's over and done with. Let's pray now. Let's pray now. You know, we would not, when does he pray? He would not pray, or he prays when he's in affliction. You know, I wouldn't wish affliction in anybody's life. And I don't like affliction as much as you don't like affliction, but there's no doubt that our prayers become more earnest when we're afflicted. And David actually said, it's good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. There are times in my life that I do not want to go back and relive. But I am thankful for what I learned in those times of affliction. So when did he pray? Well, he prayed in affliction. Where did he pray? Verse number one, he prayed from the whale's belly. He prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly. Look down in verse number three. Look at verse number three, where he says this, for thou hast cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and all thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. So he prays from the whale's belly here, and he admits how far he is from God. And yet, he's not too far from God, because it says in verse number four, yet will I look again toward thy holy temple. I don't know where you're at here this morning. If you feel like you're in a tight spot in some type of a proverbial whale's belly, you are not too far from God to turn and pray towards him. He says, I will look toward thy holy temple. And not just I will look, but I will look again. I will look again towards thy holy temple. I'm reminded in the Old Testament of that king Hezekiah who was sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah came to him and said, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. And the Bible says that he turned his face and prayed unto the Lord. You can turn your face and pray to God right where you're at right now. I think of the Old Testament passage where the fiery serpents came in and bit the people and they were about ready to die until Moses lifted up that serpent and told them, look and live. And of course, that's one of the great types of the Lord Jesus Christ being lifted up on the cross that they sang about. It's finished here this morning. If you look to him, you can live. You're not too far. Where did he pray? From the whale's belly. And then, of course, to whom did he pray? Well, he prayed to the right person. In verse number one, Jonah prayed unto the Lord. Stop crying out to the counselor. Stop crying out to the friend. Stop crying out to the internet. And start crying out to the Lord. He prayed unto the Lord his God. He's the only one who can help. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And then look down at verse number 8. How did he pray? In verse number 8, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. How did he pray? He admits how he ended up here. He observed some lying vanities and forsook his own mercy. And he recognizes that the only one who can help him out of this situation is God. And so he acknowledges that at the end of verse number 9 and says, salvation is of the Lord. You know what happens when he says that? Verse number 10, the Lord spake unto the fish. As soon as he turns his face and his heart towards God and cries out to God and says, salvation is of you, You're the only one who can get me out of this tight spot. I got myself in it. I recognize that, but would you get me out immediately? The Lord starts working, and the Lord starts moving. And when Jonah admits that, God gets him out and gets him out quickly. And although physically he's a long way from where God would have him to be, he's way out in the Mediterranean Sea, and he's far from Nineveh. He's supposed to be over in Nineveh. He's way out there. Yet spiritually, he's beginning to set things right with God. And you'll be amazed how fast God will get you back where you need to be physically and geographically when spiritually you set your things right in your heart with God. And so Jonah cries out to God. And then let's notice here, because really the star of the show here and the best part of the story is found in verse number 10. It's not just about us, and it's not just about Jonah and his predicament in his prayer. The best part of the story is found in verse number 10, where it says, "And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land." Thirdly, here this morning, I'd like you just to consider God's power. The Lord spake, and that's all it took. When God speaks, things happen. Let there be light. Say, what's light? We're about ready to find out. And there was light. Lazarus, come forth. No, Lord, don't call him out. He's been dead 4 days. He stinks. Lazarus, come forth. And he came walking out. They sang it this morning. It is finished. Sin was defeated. I like this one. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And immediately they are removed as far as the east is from the west. How about this one? Come up hither. And the saints are called home. The Bible says that where the word of a king is, there is power. And our God has that power. And so here he speaks to his creation. He speaks to the whale. It's a good thing for Jonah that he knows the God that speaks whale. And he obeyed. But what a wonderful thing. Now we find that the whale was actually used of God. The whale swallowed up Jonah not to devour him, but to protect him. And God is protecting Jonah. Instead of drowning him in the sea, he sends that whale to pick him up at God's command. He told the whale. He prepared the whale to swallow him up. And then he spake to the whale. And the whale obeyed. How instructive this would have been to Jonah. In the midst of all his disobedience, he witnesses here the obedience of God's creation. In his own disobedience, he's saved by the obedience of another. And here in this prison with bars actually becomes a place of his salvation. And God shows up just in the nick of time when my soul fainted. That salvation in verse number 9 was instantaneous. I love that we have a God. You know, this is not a story that, or an account that you see happening commonplace, right? Like, when's the last time you heard of someone getting swallowed by a whale and coming up 3 days later, and there he is walking and going and preaching? This is not a normal thing. And God is doing not normal things here. This is a miracle. And I'm so glad that we have a God who does not normal things and does miracles. And as I mentioned, there's some debate as to whether Jonah died here or not. If he did die, then God brought him back to life here. This is a miracle. I don't know where you're at here this morning. Maybe you're in a tight spot just in your spiritual walk with God. Maybe there's stuff that are on your heart here this morning that you've brought up for prayer. Maybe you haven't brought up for prayer, and those things weigh you down and you feel trapped in. This is a good time just to turn your heart and your gaze back to the Lord, who can save you from those things. And if you're in here this morning and you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I can tell you that you're in a tight spot. You're in a bad spot. The Bible says that you're dead in your trespasses and sins. And the only thing that you really have to look forward to in this life is death. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. And nobody escapes that. The Bible says that the wages of our sin is death. And unfortunately for you, if you've not trusted Jesus Christ, that's not the worst part of it. The worst part of it is what happens after death, when you enter hell. In hell, the man lifted up his eyes, the Bible says, being in torments. Now, the good news here this morning is that Christ died for those sins that you've committed. He died. The Bible says in the Old Testament, that prophesying of Christ, that the Lord laid on Him, Jesus, on the cross, the iniquity of us all. The Bible says that He bore the sins of many. That's your sins and your sins and your sins and my sins. The Bible says that He took them in His own body on the tree. And then the Bible says that He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. There's a man in the Bible who saw a remarkable testimony of some believers, and he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And the response that he got was, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." You can be saved today, saved from your sins, and know that you will spend eternity with God in heaven. You can say, as Jonah said, "Salvation is of the Lord." But the Bible says this, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You're going to have to look towards heaven, and you're going to have to bow your heart and humble yourself and call on Jesus Christ and Him alone to save you from your sins. You could say something as simple as this, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." And God will save you. And you can be released from your own tomb and the tight spot that you're in. And you can walk in newness of life. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things are become new. You can have that if you'll turn to Him in faith today. Let's bow for a word of prayer.